welcome to the Open Blend Conversations That Matter podcast. I'm Anna Rasmussen, founder and CEO of Open Blend. Open Blend is a software platform that replaces the performance management approach of yesterday with a tool that recognizes the human being in the achievement of goals and enables one-to-one conversations that drive outcomes to retain and grow high-performing cultures. We've created this podcast series to share the opinions and experiences of individuals who deeply believe in the power of conversation. In each episode, we'll hear from people that we've handpicked for their unique perspective, some of those personal, some of those professional, and all incredibly insightful. We hope that you'll gain some valuable tips, advice, and perspective on driving your own conversations that matter. So thank you so much for joining this Conversation That Matters podcast. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by Aaron Albury, who is the CEO and founder of the HR and change consultancy Lace Partners. So prior to founding Lace, Aaron spent circa 20 years, which we've just been giggling about that, in Accenture and Deloitte, specializing in HR consulting. So very safe to say that Aaron really knows his stuff, and I'm thrilled to be chatting to him today. An absolute privilege. So thank you so much, Aaron.
Thanks, Anna. It's excited to be here. And thanks for the reminder of the age. Appreciate it.
I think we've just calculated 30 years. Yes, 30 years of wisdom, which I'm sure all of our listeners are going to benefit from today. Wow. So before we kind of get started in kind of the main body of our discussion today, it'd be great to just kick off a little bit about you. And maybe I can start with what you most like about your job, Aaron.
I love that question. And it's interesting. One of my kids was just asking me that the other day. Between my partner and I, six children. So there's always a question about work somewhere along the lines. But I think for me, the thing that I love about this job and why I've been doing it so long is it is this, and we're going to talk about it today, actually, the way in which people meets technology. I'm an engineer by background. I grew up doing computer science. That's my heritage. I fell into HR very early in my career. And I've always been able to blend those two things together. And that is the best bit about my job. It's just figuring out how to help organizations get the best out of their people. And for me, the added advantage of then blending technology in that to enable it. So I love that. I love it. It's exciting. It's always fast moving. You've got the challenges of people meeting the fast world of technology. So yeah, couldn't get a better job really in my mind.
But we're very aligned, aren't we, Aaron? I would say they're the bits that excites me a lot about my job as well. So that's a perfect lead into our subject that we're going to be discussing today. In a time where HR tech is rife, do we still need human conversations to drive performance and develop people? So I'm genuinely excited to run through this with you. I've broken some it down into kind of three sections. So the first section looking at tech and how tech helps people, second section around conversation, and then the third one, which I'm now expecting you to come alive in when we're looking at the combining of tech and conversation and how they work together. So how do you think, so in your 30, we won't go back 30 years, let's go back 10 years, how do you think HR tech has evolved over the last 10 years?
I think for me, probably the biggest change in the last 10 years, and it coincides really with when we launched Lace Partners, which was 10 years ago, was the move to cloud-based technology and then what that drove in terms of speed of innovation in the technology landscape. So I think what we've seen over the last 10 years is just a very rapid increase in technology pace. And which brings with it some challenges, right, in terms of organizations keeping up, people keeping up, best use of functionality and all that kind of stuff. But what it has also done with the changes, the macro changes in the employment market and COVID and everything else is also enable, in a way it couldn't do before, employee experience and putting employee experience at the heart of technology. So not just a simple user experience from the tech side, but a genuine connectivity of process, a flow of work through tools to help people deliver work better And I think that for me is probably, if you look over the last 10 years, where everything has been moving towards. And you know, lots of challenges with COVID, but COVID itself really accelerated then that level of technology support and enablement. And has brought with it some challenges, which I'm sure we'll get into in the other conversations. But I think that's one of the biggest things for me is that sort of, how do we stop using technology in the HR space to make HR's job better? And how do we start using technology in the people space to make work better? And that really is kind of, I think, what we've seen in the last few years.
Yes. Okay. So you mentioned then about the flow of work. I'm interested to get your opinion on the impact that you have, that you think tech has had on people management. So we're looking at the flow of work. We might be talking about project planning or task-based activity, or, you know, projects connecting people on projects that maybe aren't located together. How, what impact do you think it's had on people management overall?
It's a good question. And I know clearly this is your passion area. This is what OpenBlend loves and what exists for, right? But I think it's an interesting one. Theoretically, technology should have improved this position around talent and talent conversations and so on. But I think, and performance. I think what it has done in some cases is reinforced a HR bureaucracy and process. And that has been one of the big challenges in the marketplace, is that it has originated from an HR enablement process rather than this experience. And I think it's only in those last few years of the 10 years we've been talking about that that has shifted. And so what we are starting to see, I think, now are tools that help those conversations, that remind you easily about what was talked about before, that bring together the objectives and goals and measures alongside the conversation, and prompt you and guide you through that conversation. And I think that is where you start to see it actually enabling and helping, rather than being a system of record, which is where historically it has been. But there's so much in this space to unpack, right? You know, whether you go for talent tools that are creating talent marketplaces for people to easily engage and find the new jobs and work on projects, et cetera, or whether it be, as in the case of OpenBlend, helping people have the right conversations with the right guided process and the right coaching. There's a plethora of tools now to help. And I think as an HR director, as a CPO, try and understand how to navigate which ones are the best ones to use and how to, you know,
at what point? Back,
at what point? And to what business end, right? So quite often it's a shiny tool for a problem that is an HR problem, not a business problem.
Yeah. Okay. So it's fascinating then that you mentioned sort of the difference between sort of HR enablement and experience. And I know, Lace, you've just produced a fantastic employee experience report. So it leads me on to my next thinking there. So what do you, I think workforce expectation, the employee expectation sits within experience, not enablement, right? So they come into work and they have an expectation of the business, of the environment, of their manager, of being supported to do the best job they can do. What do you think, and which all, I guess, sits within experience, is the experience that they have. What do you think the workforce expectations are of tech today, specifically in driving performance and their development?
I think it is heading towards more of a consumer grade experience. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's the age old thing, right? If you go to your banking app and how it presents stuff to you, or if you're on an Amazon or an Uber or whatever, you know, it is at a point of need when you need it, and it is presenting what you need to you in a tailored way. If you think about how you engage those apps, and that's why you keep using them and keep doing it, right? You need to get home, you need to get food, you need to get to, you want to go see a show, right? Whatever, but it's presenting it in a tailored way. And I think what we've seen is in these kind of people technology elements is that growing expectation that presenting me with just a menu and expecting me as an employee to try and search for something and look for what might be the right fit for me, whilst I've got 1,000 other things going on in my job that are related to meeting my customer needs, meeting the needs of the business, is just not a reasonable assumption anymore. And you need to challenge that. And you need to therefore present information in a way that feels tailored to the employee, that is allows them to go, okay, I'm doing this job with these capabilities. I've talked about this performance gap I've got. And then for the system to present to you, here are the five things that you probably want to learn in the next quarter.
Yeah.
And then, or you know, these are the skills you could develop, and these are some tips on how to do it. So that kind of level of tailoring around things is what we're starting to see emerge. And certainly if you were to speak to, as we do a lot with the employee experience work we do, those kind of voice of the customer exercises, that's what you hear. That's what you hear loud and clear. Why, you know, this is what's there is too cumbersome. It takes too long. I can't find what I need. There's just an overload at the moment. So help me narrow it down and help me make the things that make me better at my job.
Yeah. And I think that's a massive trend in how tech has evolved over the last 10 years, because the tech is that consumer grade experience. I think you hit the nail on the head there. And that's something that we're constantly looking at with OpenBlend as well. People have this expectation, this technology has to make my life easier. Otherwise, I'm just not going to use it. So
just too busy.
So, to summarize on that side of things, it's fast, right? This is all over the last 10 years,
moving.
The speed of information, it's moving. There's a significant pace behind it. It's kind of moved out of HR and much more into the experience space. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's fast. I think that's kind of what I've got from that. So let's move on to...
Sorry, if I may, I think fast, and we haven't talked AI at all.
Yes.
And we could do a whole podcast just on that.
Yes, we could.
But that's part of the speed of it. And I think it is AI allows fast data integration and analysis quickly and representation of that. So I think that will open up for the lot of the HR tools that are driving for this experience, that tailoring, because it will just... Yeah. Intuitively understand what you're trying to look for and present it in a different way at pace. So I think we're going to see another evolution over the next 5 years of that coming together at pace now. So I think you're right. Speed is one of the things. And I think that is one of the biggest challenges in this as well, you know, in terms of how people do bring together people and technology at work, is the tech capabilities are outstripping people's ability to absorb it right now.
Yeah. But I think you've got these two sides to this. So you've got the tech is evolving, but individuals' expectation is also evolving, and they need to come together. We certainly feel this in OpenBlend right now. How those two worlds are meeting. Okay, so let's come on to talk about conversations, which obviously is something that's very close to my heart. And we think that conversation is vital. We believe that the one-to-one is the most powerful tool that a manager can ever have to drive performance development. Do you think it's as relevant today as we think?
I think even more so, Anna, for a whole vast amount of reasons. I think my background, as I say, was engineering and technology, even consulting, but I'm also a professional HR delivery person as well, and I've been working in that space now for 30 years. And one of the first things I ever got taught as I went into that profession was around hard conversations, difficult conversations. I think we've all read that book at some point, How to Have Difficult Conversations. And that has never wavered, I think, in that 30 years, that is the core of it. But it's stuff has got in the way of doing those conversations. And I was reflecting, getting ready for this discussion. I think that it's cutting through everything to have the right conversation. So I think having a one-to-one is vitally important, but it's how do you get in the time that is poor for people to the right conversation and in a way that allows you to have difficult discussions in a courageous way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I still think is, if you're going to change productivity, helping people understand their role, their accountabilities, where they could do better, what they're doing great at, and how to work with others. You can't just do that through tools. Tools can help you gather that insight and information and use it. But one-to-one conversation certainly for me is still key.
Yeah, completely. You know, it's got to be the right conversation at the right time with the right intention and curiosity and all of that good stuff behind it, to create the change and to make the difference. So that's what we very much believe.
Yeah.
What aspects of the manager employee conversation do you think, or do you believe, are the key drivers for performance and development?
Most of this boils down to expectation management, right?
Yeah.
And what is expected of you in your role in a clear way is remarkably difficult actually for people to get across in a conversation.
Yeah.
You can feel, I think, going into a one-to-one conversation that you've had a good conversation, come out, and then if you interview both people separately, you may find that they actually thought two different things came out of that meeting.
Yeah.
So that ability to get to clarity in a concise way that is, allows people to really understand what's expected of them, I think is one of the key aspects. I think the other thing you touched on it a little bit there as well is this right conversation at the right time, Anna. I think one of the things I've been really glad to see the back of is those sort of regimented once a year or twice a year conversations to be replaced by the concept of continual review and discussion.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to take the moment to go, I need to talk about something now. I need to, rather than 6 months after the fact, trying to course correct, right? So I think that right moment, right time has also really been an important aspect of the conversation. But I think clarity of accountability, clarity of what is expected of somebody, for me, is one of the key things. And it's tricky to get across.
But that starts almost in the onboarding stage, doesn't it? When someone comes in, right from the word go, like, what, this is your job, this is what's expected of you, and this is how, the times that we're going to check in and you're on track.
Yeah, and what does success look like, in this role? And I keep coming back to that. And also, most jobs these days don't stay in doing the same thing day in, day out, right? There's a level of fluidity in the market these days. And so I think you have to have that timely conversation to allow people to course correct as you go through the year, as businesses change.
There's a very scary piece of research that was conducted last year that concluded that 69% of managers are uncomfortable communicating with their employees. Which is terrifying, isn't it? So if you're thinking about the pressure is to have the right conversation at the right time in a courageous way, and to be really clear of what deliverables are, what good looks like, all the rest of it. But yet so much that the vast proportion of managers are uncomfortable communicating, which is the conflict of tech. I think people are so used to sitting behind email or the comms tools or whatever, that actually it's reducing the level of confidence that people have in having those conversations.
I think so, and I think unfortunately I'm a great believer in hybrid working. I think it's done I think that part of the reaction to COVID has had some great benefits for a lot of businesses, but I think it has unfortunately lost some of the art of conversation, because you end up in very structured transactional conversations scheduled throughout the day. With limited ability to sort of, and you have to remind yourself that not to just jump straight into the transactional part of your meeting and just go and have the conversation with people, like you would have done in an office environment where you'd maybe go and have a coffee before you started your discussion.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned at the beginning of the call that you've got six kids. I've got three. You can see the impact that technology is having on their ability to socialize and have good conversations and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And as parents, you're monitoring it. But we're not thinking about that quite enough in the workplace. So moving on to coaching. So my background is coaching, and I know that coaching is very much seen as an intervention. A lot of businesses would invest in external coaches, bringing them in to kind of work with typically more senior people in an organization. A big passion of mine is to democratize coaching and enable everyone to be on the receiving end of a good coaching conversation. But coaching is not wavering, is it, in its popularity? I think businesses are investing more in it. You know, I'm going over to the HR summit in Madrid, which is all about people development. I had a look at what people's priorities are. Coaching is really high on the agenda in there. What do you think is underpinning this, the fact that sort of coaching as an intervention is growing or not wavering in a world where tech is kind of coming in? Because the people obviously see the value in it.
And I think it's worth separating. It'd be interesting when you go to that summit to understand, do people see digital coaching as coaching? Because I think I think what we've managed to develop over the last few years is, to your point, more channels to democratize coaching in a way that never existed before, and use of technology to do that. And so I think, if anything, that has opened people's eyes to the benefits of coaching and how important that is. I also think, you know, we've got some macro things going on. We're 3 years past breaking out of COVID. That is, in a lot of cases, the time frame in which you may cycle through a leadership team. And certainly we've seen far more turnover of leadership teams in this last year than in the previous two, because businesses have got to a level of stability and normality around how they operate, and therefore they're taking some of the options around leadership change, and that in itself then leads to a coaching requirement and environment. But I think there is this ability now through technology like OpenBlend and others to provide online digital options around coaching that didn't exist before, that makes it more accessible to the broader population. And so I think that's probably fueling some of that preference for it.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. And actually, just through the accessibility of it, people are having a taster of it. They're seeing the benefit of it. It's just becoming more in bed as an intervention that's becoming the norm.
Yeah, great. And I think unfortunately, we talk about the sort of leader, team leaders, line managers having difficulty having a conversation. I think in my experience, a lot of the senior leaders have as much problem with that conversation with their peers. And also are less time and have even less time available. So I think they see coaching as an option to help them with that at the senior leadership level.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. So now let's move into your passion area then, about combining tech and conversation. So we've looked at tech and the pace in which it's evolving. We've looked at conversation and the importance there is around good conversation, expectation, right conversation at the right time. Let's kind of bring them together and see how they work together to finish off today. So what are your thoughts on the use of tech? And don't be polite because you're talking to OpenBlend. You know, what are your thoughts on the use of technology to enable conversation between two people?
It's very interesting because coming into this conversation, I was thinking through this point about whether, you know, I would argue it has improved things or not. And then I was thinking back to a conversation I had with somebody just the other day around how things were pre-COVID and how difficult, how much email I used to have to wade through, how difficult it was some points to have discussions with people, and how revolutionary things like Teams, Zoom and so much has actually changed things. So I think just going out from the coaching side for a second is looking at broader technology change in the last 5 years. I think the world we now live in on video calls, Teams, chats, you know, the level of email drop that has seen, I think has been absolutely beneficial to allowing quick, fast conversations. I mean, every day I'm sending messages to people that, you know, I wouldn't have had time to pick up a phone to before, or I'd had to spend time crafting an email to before, where you can have an instant chat with somebody and just get an interaction going and course correct, make and set expectations, manage things. So I think there's that side of stuff has really, really helped bring that conversation together. That's just a mechanism to allow you to have the discussion. It has, none of that is helping me with how to have the conversation. It's just it's still me talking through that channel, rightly or wrongly, getting it right or wrong, right? I think where the interesting areas are going to be with some of the things that we're starting to see emerge with some of the AI technology, where, you know, you can almost ask the AI engine to sort of review what some of the things that you've talked about around with previous conversations and summarize the things that you need to talk through with somebody.
Yeah.
So, and no, that's not going to be the final list, but it gets you faster. So it removes that block to conversation. A lot of the time when people think about, okay, I'm going to have a conversation, it's okay, what am I going to talk about? I've got a blank sheet. I've got to try and build it up. That gets in the way. And then it's always put in the pile of, I'll have it later, I'll have it later. There are things there with tools now that will allow you to get to, you know, 70-80% of what the summary is, to allow you then to add your bit to it and move forward. And then you start looking at the kind of stuff that you're doing with OpenBlend, where you're talking around how to have the conversation and the prompts and the guidance and the coaching that's built into that. So I think there's overall, I think it's a much, much better environment now, given the kind of work that we do that is hybrid and dispersed teams and distributed work. The tool sets available now are far, far better for having those conversations than they ever were. But I think how you bring those together, how you use them, the way your ways of working as a business, your mechanisms that you put in place, the tools, the ways of operating, you need to have a very explicit conversation around about how that's going to operate for you and how, you know, how's it add a benefit for you.
And I think it comes back to your point at the beginning around a consumer grade experience as well. I think if you're going to put technology into people's lives to enable conversation, it can't be prohibitive in any way. It needs to make their lives easier.
It depends on what you class as a conversation as well. Is a digital to digital conversation a conversation, or is that, you know, is that really classed as a conversation, or do you need to have a voice conversation, right? So
yeah, I think I see it more as a voice conversation. Can I just to give sort of slightly, it's not off topic here, but just we've mentioned a couple of times about the pace in which technology is speeding up. We talk about how people are time short. We talk about the speed. You know, if we can have something that takes us 80% of the way there, and then we, you know, what has happened in the way in which we're working, where, because, you know, because I do feel this when we're out in the market. Obviously, we spend our lives, dedicate our sort of working lives to understanding how people communicate in an organization. Is that the conversation with someone is the thing. If we think it's that important, that is the thing that people drop. I haven't got time to do that. I'm going to move that. I've got to deliver this. I've got to deliver that. What is it that is fueling this pace in which we're working, where we can just drop a conversation over something else? Did you have an opinion? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'll talk from my own experience, Anna, in terms of this, because I run a business with my business partner, Kathy, and it's very easy to drop into a schedule for the day, call, right? And they're all conversations, but they're pretty transactional in their nature. What they're not is that kind of empathetic type conversation that you
want to have. An investment in that other person.
An investment in. And so we've had some checks and balances around this and had to sort of go, okay, well, actually, we're going to build some time in our calendars now that is, and just keep an hour free so I can wander around the office and have a conversation with people, organic conversations and discussions, and just check in and stuff, because I think it's really important. I think it's been lost. And I think, you know, you can hark back to all sorts of things, but I think the break with COVID, the lockdown, the move to Teams-based, Zoom-based calls where you're in a scheduled type of environment. You remember, I think, remember back to some of the debates we had over that time, right? Okay. Well, let's stop scheduling it for a full hour. Let's schedule for 45 minutes so people can have downtime between calls. Because we got to a point where you were just doing, call, end of day, call, end. Yeah. And there's no ability to have an organic conversation, which actually helps you connect, meet someone on a sort of personal basis in terms of the dialogue. So I do think it has has been a challenge and a problem for a lot of businesses around this and that kind of loss of that ability. And I don't think it's an easy answer to it. I think it is a question of recognizing it and then consciously stopping and taking a breath and going, okay, we're going to need to operate in a different way. How do we get some of this organic ability back? Which is why I think, sorry, Anna, which is why I think in some businesses, their answer is we need to reinforce coming back into the office. And I think that's why we've seen some of that start to come into dialogue.
I think as well, it's almost, and we're doing some shifts actually in the tool around to recognize this, is being conscious of the types of conversations that you have with people. Because I think people, you're right. I mean, this whole conversation has really brought this to the forefront of my mind, is that actually we are using technology to talk all the time. But that the way that we're talking is transactional, task-based, status updates, project-based, how we're moving through. And actually those invest in empathetic conversations that are a bit more kind of holistic about that individual an investment in that individual are seen as just another conversation. Maybe that's how we're looking at it. We feel like we're talking all the time. I've caught up with them, but actually the type of that conversation, the nature of that conversation, is the one that needs to shift, and we need to be more mindful for that, because we're bringing in types of one-to-ones into OpenBlend, which I think actually, so it gives it almost a label and a purpose of that meeting. So we're going to talk about development and your development and the purpose of that. We're going to preload a purpose that you can edit, but it gives people an idea to start thinking, okay, so we're going to talk about your development. This is why we're talking about it. And this is what's on the agenda for this conversation. So helping people differentiate from those millions of Teams and Zoom calls that we seem to have. It's a really interesting point.
And some conversations, and I'm sure you're thinking this through, right? But some conversations require you to have a different mindset from your day-to-day job and work and switch to more reflective thinking. And that's not always easy when you're action-oriented, transaction-oriented in 90% of your day. And so how do you help someone transition when they've probably come from one meeting straight into the conversation?
That's why
coffees used to be great for this kind of stuff, right? Because it allowed people to reset, take a breath, move to a reflective position before you started into the conversation. Then they would absorb more of it. And I think that is where technology hasn't helped us in terms of some of the level of engagement, because it doesn't, you have to very consciously signal that that's what you need to do when you're not face to face.
But AI could help with that, couldn't it? You could, you know, prior to a type of conversation, receive some content or some information that shifted your mindset into that new place. God, we're putting an awful lot of pressure on ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah.
Just the pace in which we're working.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I just had a vision then of receiving some AI content just through my ear on my walk to another meeting to get me in the right state of mind for the next conversation I was going to have. But, you know,
that's why the importance sometimes of just pausing, right?
Yeah.
And just pausing and stopping and giving that space, which is not easy. But, you know, I think you'd say from a productivity perspective, just running from one thing to another is just, you know, is less productive than actually taking time to breathe, focus, and address some of those issues in a reflective way. So I think tools that can help you do that, I'm all for those.
Yeah. Brilliant. So I wanted to kind of round up on the sort of threats and opportunities, but I think we've kind of discussed a few of those. So what do you think the threats and the opportunities are for an organization of leaning into tech to help the help conversation? Let's lean that more towards these kind of conscious investment type one-to-ones, as opposed to these kind of status update task-based conversations. You know, if an organization is using tech to signpost the types of conversations in the workplace, are there any sort of threats at the forefront of your mind around doing that?
I think that the risk is technology by its very nature follows a systematic process, right? And that's how it's typically built. So I think the risk is that you lose some of the organic nature of a conversation by following, some people will then follow by rote, the computer said to do this.
Yeah.
And that for me is the biggest threat. I think, how do you give enough guidance without taking away from what needs to be by its very nature an organic level of conversation where you have to listen actively as part of a dialogue like that and respond in a way that might not follow the script, so to speak. So I think that's, for me, is one of the threats, is that it's over-engineered. Start with introduction, introduce yourself, and so on, and that kind of thing that sort of works its way through. So I think that for me is probably the biggest threat in it, is taking that personality out of the conversation and stopping that. I think from an opportunity perspective, as we talked about, I think this ability to use things like AI to summarize information to allow you to cut through the noise to get to the bits that really will add the value, to use it to give you the hints and tips on how to work through those more difficult conversations if it's a difficult discussion you're having, to help, you know, because these conversations, especially the difficult ones, don't happen every day. And unless you're doing a job like ours or an HR professional type job, you know, you're not practiced in them all the time. And therefore helping people understand it is actually relative, not easy to do. It's difficult to do, but it can be structured. You can structure a way through it. And giving them the guidance, I think, is one of the real benefits where technology can be used to enable that kind of discussion. And then, as we talked about, that consumer grade experience. So as the person having the conversation, then what do I do with it? What do I develop? How do I do it? Making that really easy so that people can do it in their flow of work. Because that is definitely the secret for most technology now, is how do you get it into the flow of work so that it's just, you know, not something else you've got to go to, because that will just stop it happening. I think that for me are the sort of big benefits I think we'll see from technology in this space.
Amazing. It seems, just when you're talking there, I'm just thinking about Duolingo and just how actually the way that you're talking about, you know, learning to have that conversation is almost like learning to have a language. You can have a structured bite-sized pieces of information that are served to you when you need it, but also that it fits into your day-to-day life in a consumer great experience. There's some similarity. Just as you were talking then, I was thinking about that tool.
Definitely. I think there's lots to learn from, I think, out there now.
Wonderful, Aaron. I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. I really enjoyed talking to you, your perspective, and I've learned a lot from that, so hopefully our listeners have as well. So thank you so much for your time today. It's very generous
for inviting
you, how busy you are.
Appreciate it.
And for being a prime example of how you can have really highly sophisticated conversations with the use of technology, because we're quite far from each other at the moment, aren't we?
We are.
So thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it, Anna. Thank you.